All right. Every week, he selects a song to open his segment with. Michael Hecht, a.k.a. DJ El Camino, joining us now from GNO Inc. How you doing, Michael?
Well, David Cohen, I'm doing well. I was doing good before, but after hearing that prime cut from the past, I'm feeling better. That was it's just a classic. It does not age.
Well, some may agree, some may not, but
luckily this is a bilateral conversation and not full democracy right now. But I brought that up because Mayor Moreno has started a new advisory group, which is called Pumps, right? Hence Pump Up the Volume.
Pump Up the Volume. Talking you about pumps. One. Yeah, I see what you did there. And I'm hoping that folks listening said, ooh, and they said, Michael Hecht's coming on, and they turned the volume up because they wanted to hear you even louder and more clearly because you told them to pump up the volume.
Correct, and now they're going to just dance.
Dance.
And by the way, rest in peace, Rob Bass. Rest in peace. It was 1988, my senior prom, that I first heard It Takes Two, and my life has never been the same.
And did things go right?
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, it was out of sight.
Well, good. Glad to hear. All right. Enough of these references. Let's talk about what you're here to talk about. And I guess I'll just tease people with a few words that we'll be covering with Michael Hecht in this segment. Pumps, Meta, roads, drones. All right. Just some of the things that we'll talk about.
Right.
And hopefully that
pumps,
makes them
meta,
want to
road,
stay.
Well, let's talk about let's close the loop on the pumps thing. So the mayor
Please
has
do.
Created this new group called Pumps, which stands for something. I'm sure it's not just a reference to Technotronic, to look at governance changes to Sewer and Water Board, and I think really the kind of unspoken thing that's being looked at here is possible integration into city government, into DPW. I love this in the specific and in the general. In the specific. Our sewer and water board and our stormwater drainage has actually been performing exactly as it was designed to for years. That is, it's not performing well because we've got this madness where sewer and water board is in charge of all of the big pipes over 3 feet in diameter, and DPW is in charge of all of the small pipes, the drainage pipes that are less than 3 feet in diameter, so the catch basins down to 3 feet. So we have a drainage system managed by two different entities, and so that obviously is built to fail, and it's performing at spec. So I like that we're potentially bringing Sewer and Water Board into DPW. It's how you would design it if you were sane. But
And one of the big wins, we should note, that the mayor said, while she was not overall happy with the way the city was treated in the legislative session, this was one of the things she highlighted as a major win, is getting the legislation passed to give the city more control over the Sewerage and Water Board.
Yeah, it was a huge win. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff, you know, people talking about how the legislature's against New Orleans and a lot of anti-New Orleans things that emanated out of the Capitol this session. But this was a great one. I want to give the mayor and the legislature and the council specific credit, because we're entering a boom time, I think, in the state for a lot of economic reasons, for a lot of leadership reasons. We're going to do well over the next decade. But if we don't make these structural changes, do these unsexy things like merge organizations, get rid of redundancy today, then when the boom time ends, we're going to fall back again. But if we take this opportunity when things are going well to make the structural changes to make us more resilient going forward, then we're not going to be in this up and down cycle, which has characterized New Orleans for generations. So I really credit spending the political capital on the structural stuff in the literal and organizational sense, at the same time that we're doing immediate things like filling potholes and trying to win the next Super Bowl.
Trying to get the next one. Yeah, we'd love to win it, but let's get it first.
Yeah.
And
no,
that would be 2031, right? 2031.
Yeah, yeah, my, 2031 is the date we're shooting for. Yeah, winning one's another thing. I've been watching the Knicks, Dave. I'm sure you have too. I my mom's from New Orleans, but I grew up in New York, and Knicks haven't been good since the 80s. And just watching this selfless team, this really kind of dynamic, diverse, motley crew, potentially take out a team as talented as San Antonio. It's been fun to see.
Yeah, for everyone except for San Antonio fans, obviously. But yeah, and I'm sure you've been enjoying the references to Party Like It's 1999, the last time that the Knicks were in the finals. So,
the whole thing. There's been some very funny memes out there. Let's go on to the next item. Meta trades the trades, right? That's the next thing we're supposed to talk. Because I was about to start talking about the memes, and that's not good when I start repeating memes.
No, and then I'll have you off on sidebars, and we'll never get to the topics you actually wanted to talk about. So the next topic is Meta trains the trades. What does that mean?
They are opening a workforce academy in Baton Rouge where they're going to be training people to build AI centers. So what I love about this is that, although this one is directly tied to the $27 billion data center that they're building in Richland Parish in the Northeast, the skills that are being trained, and everybody's paid for, it doesn't cost anybody anything, is things like welding, plumbing, electrical work, fiber installation. These are fungible skills that can be used on any industrial project. So even though somebody said, oh, Meta's just doing this out of self-interest or just to look good, fine. I'm great with that enlightened self-interest, right? Because they're training people for high-wage jobs for free that can be used across the state and across industries. And I think what's so particularly important about this is that we tend to focus, Dave, in economic development and politics on the ribbon cutting. And the ribbon cutting is important. But if those projects come online and they do not hire Louisianians for the construction and regular jobs, and they don't hire Louisiana companies as their subs, then we're really not winning much. We're really sub-optimizing. We're getting some tax revenue, but we're not getting the wage growth and we're not getting the halo effect for our economy. So when you see things like Meta, where there's a training academy that's going to be getting people jobs, and where I know local companies like Empirical on the North Shore that are booming because of the work that they're doing in the Northeast for Meta, I said, you know what? For all the questions about AI, this looks so far like a project that's being done in a holistic way, and so I'm encouraged so far.
You know, and I like the approach because I think, of course, there's value to people going to schools and learning trades or doing apprenticeships and learning trades and growing into high-paying jobs that way, whether it's electricians or pipe fitters or welders or whatever the case may be. But this is a new approach that you probably know more than I do, but I've not seen this, at least locally, before, where a company says, we need people with the following skills. So rather than go and find people applying for jobs who have those skills, we're going to find people who want to develop those skills and give them the training to do that. Rather than finding a developed workforce, they're just going to develop the workforce.
Yeah, this is so we've always had a program in Louisiana called Fast Start, which as an incentive to a company coming in says, we will pay for the training for your workers. This is a step further where it's the company itself that is actually paying for training the workers. So this is new and different. And of course, we would love if this becomes, you know, a precedent that other people want to copy.
Right. And they do not have to then, and they're no longer, they will work for Meta on the project for which they're being trained, but then they have the skills after that project is done and they can go apply those anywhere they, in any way they want, right?
That's the important part about it. Because somebody said to me yesterday, well, yeah, you know, after the construction, what then? The skills that people are learning. I mean, look, you know, what is a data center? It's a massive warehouse with some electronics inside. So all the things you need to build that, whether it's the fiber installation or the plumbing or the HVAC work, these are skills you can take anywhere. It can go to any type of project. So, no, I think this is, I give a lot of credit to Meta and to the state and the folks that are supporting this, like LED, because it's, I'm not going to say win-win-win. That's an annoying statement, but something else like that. Everybody wins.
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of losing involved here. And we should note that there are only going to be more data centers. We know that they're coming to Caddo and Bossier and Richland and Rapides and elsewhere across the state. But this is going to be, there's going to be demands for these things well into the future.
Yeah, I think this is the, well, The data centers, yeah, I think we were looking at least a 10-year boom. But then the overall industrial boom in Louisiana, which is around energy in general, it's around aerospace, it's around defense, it's around maritime. Again, I think we're going to get a good 10, 20 years of this until global trends, you know, shift in a new direction. So this is about the when you talk about population loss or gain, Dave, the primary driver of that is economic opportunity. If we can connect Louisianians to economic opportunity, then not only will we keep our people here, but others will come back and move here for the first time. So this is, I hope this is a model that we can call a success and then replicate, because it certainly seems like the right idea.
Talking with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. Okay, I said pumps, Meta, roads, and drones. So let's get to roads. You talked earlier about how some structural things needed to be done to reorganize government for us to have future success in Southeast Louisiana. Well, we also need some structural things that are literally structural to be done that have been on hold for whatever reason now for two decades. And it looks like that's finally going to happen. The put off Katrina-funded infrastructure improvements are actually going to happen, it looks like.
Yeah, this is kind of like, what's the cathedral in Barcelona that they finally finished after 200 years?
Not quite 200, but okay, yes.
You know, this is kind of like the same thing, but we can't change the past. It's I think that Mayor Landrieu announced this settlement for the first time over a decade ago, back in 2015. It was $1.7 billion. About a third of it is still yet to be spent, which is really, remarkable in a bad way, right? Like, you know, it's like when you taste something, you're like, well, that is remarkably unappetizing. But I give a lot of credit to this mayor and to our congressional delegation, and even to citizens like Saints and Pelicans owner Gail Benson, who all worked with D.C. to say, we finally have the right team in place to get this done. Give us one last chance. And everybody from the president on down decided to give us that last chance. And so now, under Deputy Mayor Steven Nelson and his excellent team and the Infrastructure Coordinating Committee that I'm part of that meets every week, we're going to get these 6,000 blocks finished and we will have better infrastructure. It's taken 6, way too long.
6,000 blocks.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean,
that's
it was a lot. The big effort, it was complicated. But it obviously just was not executed in the right way. We're finally going to get it done and get it cleaned up. And so just credit to everybody for sticking with this. Thank you to our friends in D.C. Thank you for Mrs. Benson for making this special effort, and everybody from President Trump on down for giving us this chance, this final chance at paving things right.
This is our Basilica de la Sagrada Familia.
Thank you. You know, I didn't have a chance to Google, but the Basilica de Sagrada Familia, which is, and was it Gaudi who was the architect? Is that right?
I may or may not have limitedly Googled enough information to have that phrase, but no.
Okay,
more.
You probably have the free ChatGPT. I know how they are at Audacity. Okay.
Michael Hecht is our guest, and this is exciting. $500 million in federal grant money that's finally going to be used, and hopefully there are no more hiccups, no more delays, that it's done correctly, it's rolled out properly, we're not doubling work, ripping up roads, refixing them, then ripping them up again to do other work, that everything's coordinated, it's done right, and the team has a plan. All right, we're going to get to, so we got through pumps, Meta, roads. Before drones, there are a couple others. Fortify and multiply, one of the bullet points you sent me. Wow, what does that mean?
I will take fortify and multiply for 10,000, Dave, please.
And the answer is?
And the answer is that Louisiana, who has become the fastest growing market in the country for fortified building standards, adding roughly 9,000 certified properties over the past 18 months to reach 10,000 homes statewide, three times faster than any other state. Answer is Louisiana, final answer. This has been driven by the Fortified Homes Program, which recently got another $50 million. We were one of the supporters of that. Applications, I believe, are now open on the Department of Insurance website for the grant program. I encourage folks to go there and to apply. I think it's still open. You can get up to $10,000 for a fortified roof. And what this will do is give you up to a 29% discount on your hurricane premium in your insurance. It's real savings. Big credit to Commissioner Tim Temple, who has been really the champion of this, as well as the legislature, who's gone along and supported, and the governor. This is one of the ways that we're going to make Louisiana, South Louisiana, affordable. It's by reducing our insurance premiums, by reducing our exposure, and this is a proven way to do it. So this is a another just, you know, bona fide nice news story.
Yeah, so another 9,000 on top of the, 10,000 already. So, and $10,000 per roof is what the grant is worth to get you a fortified roof. It should bring your insurance premiums down, and it'll definitely give you a stronger roof, no doubt about it. Class is in session, Michael Hecht. That's the next subject that you have given me to introduce.
Thank you. Well done. Youth Force NOLA is one of our great workforce training partners in the city. Kate does a fantastic job running it. They do all kinds of things for young people, for high school students, soft skills, hard skills. One of the other things they do is place students in paid summer internships. Gianna Wink just announced that we were placing close to 50 college students in tech and STEM-related jobs for the summer, paid for. Youth Force is doing this for 200 high school students. Students from every public high school in the city are participating. They've been in work readiness training since May, and it produces the results. Alumni earn an average of $6,500 more per year than your peers. 99% go on to jobs or further education after graduation. And I got to say, as challenging as our work placing college students is, it's doubly difficult with students who are under the age of 18 for a number of legal reasons. So big ups to Youth Force and their job at placing a couple of hundred of our high school students in paid internships. And actually, I was talking to one of the board members of Youth Force yesterday, and she said she was at Ochsner recently getting a blood draw, and they were chatting during the blood draw with the phlebologist?
Phlebotomist.
Right?
Phlebotomist.
Okay. No, it's, no,
easy
that,
for you to say.
Yeah, okay. So she was chatting with the hippopotamus, and she said, apparently,
I'm sure phlebotomists appreciate that.
This young, no, yes, so say it right. This highly paid expert at drawing blood said that she was actually an alumna of Youth Force and their summer internship program. So it was very exciting for this board member to see that these students are now making it into the market and getting into these great careers. So this stuff does work. It's hard work. It's very granular. But, you know, changing lives one at a time is how it actually gets done.
We're getting good news from Michael Hecht at GNO Inc. We're going to save the last one, drones, for after our special guest, who's up next. There's been a huge problem in Louisiana of connecting people with jobs and connecting employers with qualified applicants. Michael's going to tell us about a step to help solve that problem, one of the biggest complaints we hear constantly from job seekers and from local businesses. We'll find out what's being done to try and connect those who have jobs open with those who can fill them after this. And after that, we'll find out what Michael's got to announce about drones. 60-mile-an-hour drones across southeast Louisiana. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. Stay tuned. It's all coming up. It's a double shot from DJ El Camino. All right. Michael Hecht selecting two songs for this morning's show. Michael, what does that song have to do with it, and who is our special guest this hour?
Yeah, big ups to Chris. He just nailed the drop on that one. Our current guest is Leah Likens, and she is the co-founder and chief product officer at Where We Go.
Hey, Leah, how are you? Where do we go? I jumped in on the dramatic pause. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize.
Yeah, it was. You got a way to beat. And listen, I'll let Leah take over. But they're the company that just redeveloped our WorkNOLA.com website, which was actually quite a big project, incredibly important in getting great people into these great jobs that we have here in the region and state. So we're thrilled to have Leah on to talk about what they did and what it means for people looking for jobs.
All right, throw the flag. I got a false start there, Leah. I apologize. So, 15 yards.
It's all good.
We'll do it again. Where we go is helping solve a major problem that we have seen here across Louisiana, and we hear it all the time from people looking for jobs and for people looking for applicants, that there's a disconnect. We can't get the people who are qualified for the jobs connected with the people who have the jobs. You're trying to solve that, aren't you?
Yeah, I think you said it well. Anybody who has tried to hire someone and anyone who has tried to get a job.
Sorry about that. Apparently, we will throw another flag on that one. All right.
I can handle it. I think anyone who's tried to get a job or tried to hire someone for a job has seen some of these issues up close, whether it's applying to 200 places and never hearing back, or seeing hundreds of applicants in the first 1 minute on some large national platform. You know, we've got a quality problem and a quantity problem to solve when it comes to connecting employers and connecting workers. And WorkNOLA is just doing a really good job of addressing both of those things. It's just a great experience for the employer side, the job seeker side. It's a really great regional tool that GNO Inc. has put out there. It's been awesome to work on it. It's been great to work on it.
Well, tell us about Where We Go and how you ended up partnering with GNO Inc. on this.
Where We Go is founded by me and my co-founder, Ben Ishin. We were both career educators in New Orleans public schools. I was at Joseph S. Clark Senior High and Abramson Sci Academy. We saw kind of up close and personal how difficult navigating post-secondary opportunities were for our students. And so from there, we built out a vocational training navigator called the GNO Career Guide. And that was our first engagement with GNO Inc. So we basically did a data hustle, explored all the career training opportunities that are in the area, and made it a little bit easier for young people and grownups to figure out what is a non-4-year pathway that is an option for you in your career journey. And then through doing that, you know, we've really just been working on all parts of that education to career pipeline, all the parts that make it really hard to navigate these really complex systems. And, you know, sometimes the end result is something that looks and feels really easy, really approachable, really accessible, really actionable. And, you know, a lot of the work is removing the junk, removing the bad user experiences, removing the confusion, and just making sure people can finish what they're setting out to start. So WorkNOLA was a great opportunity to work on that. It's got a clear goal, right? It's winning if someone finds a great job. And so when you get to work around a success metric like that, and you're not monetizing a job board or trying to get as many advertisements as you can, you get to build something that works a bit better at connecting these two groups of people. It's been great.
Yeah, I love how you're trying to kind of take it down to the very basics of what is the goal here. And the goal is people looking for jobs can find them, and people looking to hire people can find them. And there's none of the other peripheral stuff that sometimes gets in the way. I did really enjoy that term data hustle, though. That's one. Yeah. That must be an industry term that you did a quick data hustle.
You know, we use that term often at what we do. You know, you'd be surprised at how it's easier to find out what sandwiches are in your neighborhood sometimes than what career opportunities are. Like, the information is really complicated. We've got loads of industries. We've got loads of career pathways. We've got all these different directions you can go. So how do you communicate this information when it's not apples and apples? It's like apples and oranges and cucumbers. So when you look at all this really confusing stuff, you're trying to make it make sense for a young person or a worker, entry level or professional, you really do have to like boil it down to the basics so that it's just going to make sense for everybody. And so it is the data hustle is a cleaning exercise. It is investigation exercise. It is what we do pretty often. Yeah.
That's fantastic. No, I love that term. And I guess I'm just not in the industry, so I hadn't heard it, but I love it. Worknola.com.
That's a Leah Likens term.
Oh, okay. Well, you might want to copyright that. Yeah, you might want to copyright that. Worknola.com. What makes it different? We talked about some of the things, but this is not like a national job board. This is a specific regional job platform designed to work specifically in greater New Orleans.
Yeah, we have some great opportunities in every parish. We've got industries of all different shapes and sizes. And one of the things that's most special about Worknola is the people on the other side are your neighbors. It's a real employer. It's a real person. We've got real engaged employers on the other side that are hoping that you will apply, that are hoping that people from the greater New Orleans area are there and seeing it. It's a really different kind of level of engagement and attention. So if you're a job seeker, it's a place where you get to all your cover letters, all your resumes, they're in the same place. You can apply directly on there. You can compare what employers are in the region. You can learn a little bit about what's going on. If you're an employer like me as well, because I'm an employer in the area, I have a totally free applicant tracking system. I can post a job. I can post that job for free. It doesn't matter how many applications I get or how many jobs I'm posting, I'll be on there and I can have access to people in my community really directly and really concretely. So there's a different level of neighborliness on there.
Yeah, I love that there's a personal stake in it for you. Not so that you're not selfish or anything like that, but the fact that you are someone who has decided to grow and build your company and build tech in greater New Orleans, and then you got to help yourself and help others at the same time by helping improve Worknola.com.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Leah, anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Oh, I just hope that people get a lot of value from it. And I just want them to know, you know, if it's successful, it's because they found something that they needed. And so we've got 2 ears and 1 mouth. We're always ready to hear if there's room for improvement or something we can do to steward it even better. So, yeah, we just really hope it can help people along that journey.
And all of these new features are already up at Worknola.com?
Yes, sir.
All right. Leah Likens, co-founder and chief product officer at Where We Go, a local company helping other local companies and helping connect workers with open jobs. I love the fact that we have not only acknowledged this, but we've done something actionable to help address this problem that we hope to see concrete progress with, because we really need to get people where they need to be, because it is so hard right now for people on both sides. Leah, thanks for joining us here on WWL.
Thanks for your time, y'all.
All right. We'll be back with Michael Hecht. I've been saving the best for last. Well, I don't know. I've been saving the drones for last. You be the judge if it's the best or not. Michael's back to tell us about drone deployment around New Orleans after this on WWL. All right. Well, we're back to number one. Michael Hecht is back with us now here on the GNO Inc. Hour. And Michael, we told him we were going to tell him about more drones coming to New Orleans. What's the deal here?
Well, so these drones that are coming on are they're going to be working in tandem with Walmart, I believe. And what they're going to do is they're going to be able to drop groceries, medications, any products that you need into your backyard or driveway within like 30 minutes. It's part of something called Wing. Now, I don't know if they can also literally bring you wings, because then it becomes particularly useful.
I think right? There's a weight limit, so it depends how many wings you want Wing to wing your way.
Yeah, and right, and I think you have to also remember that two wrongs don't make a... I don't know where I'm going with this, but this is part of Alphabet.
It's been a loose hour.
This is where we're going as a as a world in terms of things are getting automated. We're seeing drones. They already are working in Dallas, in Atlanta, and in Houston, and so I like that it's happening in New Orleans because we typically have been a lag on pretty much everything. The fact that we're getting in on the first wave of these autonomous services, I just think it's good for the look and feel and convenience of the city. It's making us a contemporary city. Again, some questions about whether it really is ultimately healthy that I can get everything I need in my life delivered to me in 30 minutes while I remain on the couch watching the basketball game, if that ultimately is the right
well,
set of
and
life.
It has to weigh less than like 2.3 pounds or something, but yes.
Okay, that's what it is. Okay, so it's fairly light. How many wings is 2.3 pounds? I mean, that's a you get probably a, you know, a good number of wings, right?
Yeah, I think
guess,
so.
I guess it's a sauce issue, right? I think the sauce is where you get the density.
Yeah, you got a lighter sauce, you know. Makes a lighter
and
wing.
Then also people
and this
have
next
seen...
year, by the way, this is supposed to be in the New Orleans market with
next year.
Yeah, Google, Alphabet, through Wing, delivering products from Walmart within 30 minutes. That's a lot of different companies coming together. But next
all
year,
flying to you,
yeah, and then 60 miles an hour. These things travel.
Well, these things zip around. I mean, look, we're also talking about getting these autonomous first responders for the police department. Now, what they would do, and let me say it, and I'll say it again, this is not surveillance. This is not surveillance. They don't have cameras for surveillance.
Is this surveillance, Michael?
It is definitely not surveillance. If you want surveillance, you have to talk to somebody else. But what these drones do is they can get to a crime scene within 90 seconds. And they can ascertain what type of service is needed. This is being deployed beautifully by Sheriff LaPinto in Jefferson Parish. Guess how many homicides they've had to date in Jefferson Parish? I was told this. I can't believe it, but somebody told me yesterday. We have to check it. I was told there have been 4 homicides in the entire year in JP.
Less than one a month.
Which is, we have to check that, but it was... But the fact is that these are part of how you protect cops and how you protect lives, and it's going to make life better. And then the other thing that's coming in is you've seen these Waymo vehicles that are around. They've had people in them as they map the streets, but they are going to autonomously drive the line between brave and stupid and bring these autonomous vehicles into New Orleans. And, you know, again, it's probably the right thing because it means that we don't have human beings driving, and there are a lot of reasons why we don't want human beings driving on our street, and it also makes us a contemporary city.
Yeah, a hearing actually has been underway at the City Council Transportation Committee while we've been doing this program. We'll get an update on that coming up in the news at 12 o'clock on Waymo's presentation to the New Orleans City Council. So autonomous deliveries, autonomous taxis. It really sounds like New Orleans is doing a better job than in the past, not waiting 20 years to adopt technologies that we see come to other cities.
That's right. Now, there's only one place, Dave, where I think we will never go full autonomous, and that is Mardi Gras floats.
Autonomous Mardi Gras. No, we keep the tractor drivers. Michael, we'll keep you around, too. We'll talk to you next week. Always a pleasure to have you on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. Thank you, Michael. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
We're back after this on WWL. Corey, thanks for calling here on WWL. You got a question, Corey?
Yeah, hey, Dave. Thanks for filling in for Newell today, bud.
My pleasure. Thank you, man.
Yeah, I was talking about the Walmart delivery by drones. Like, you know, there's going to be a certain delivery area by the stores. But are they going to be piloted or autonomous?
No, they're autonomous drones that are guided by GPS and mapping and things like that. And they are flying, and they do fly at like 60 miles an hour, so they can get you what you order very quickly.
Which is... sounds good. Like, the logistics of it is something I'm like, man, I got questions on that.
Well, they've rolled it out in other cities, and New Orleans is in the group to be rolled out in 2027.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Corey. Appreciate it. By the way, I just did look up because I really was, when Michael Heck said it, that there have only been 4 murders year-to-date in Jefferson Parish. I did a quick search and pulled up the Jefferson Parish crime stats. I can only find through April, but as of the end of April, year-to-date, 3 murders, according to JPSO. Last year, there were 10 through the same amount of time. So that's a 70% drop in murders. Robbery is down 20% in Jefferson Parish. Assault is down 16%. Burglary is down 37%. Auto theft is down 15%. Wow. Sheriff Joe Lapinto goes about doing the job effectively and efficiently and doesn't go about tooting his own horn enough, I think, because this is remarkable. This is fantastic. And this is the kind of news that should be hollered from the rooftops. So congratulations to Sheriff Joe Lapinto and everybody else who works to fight crime in Jefferson Parish. These numbers are not only historically low, but consistently getting lower and lower. All right, next hour, we find out about a very prestigious gathering that has only come to New Orleans a handful of times over the last century, but it's coming back, and it could mean very good things for the convention business and for overall economic development in New Orleans. We'll talk about that, tell you what it is and why it's so important after the news here on WWL.